The most recent incident we had was near Sangultabaya, where there was fighting that was going on between an armed group and the government. We had medevaced some of the injured. It's particularly been in North Darfur. We've seen an uptick in level of violence. This hasn't just been violence between armed groups and government, but also there's been a lot of attacks, problems amongst communities. We would say intercommunal clashes that have been happening in North Darfur. You know, in West Darfur, too, we saw also an uptick. We lost 4 peacekeepers there. I believe that was in October. And then, of course, we lost another peacekeeper that was in Kab Kabiya, which is in North Darfur, was also in the same month. Of course, it's been a cause of great concern here. I know that our acting Joint Special Representative has spoken out about it and has called on the government as well as the armed movements to accept that further violence is a dead end that only harms the people of Darfur. This is something that she had noted. Of course, it's discouraging, and we're hoping that the pattern will change.
Now, how has the fighting affected the civilian population in Darfur, if it has?
You know, we had reported that there were some strikes recently that took place in the North Darfur region. Surely these were strikes being carried out against probably the armed movements, but undoubtedly you will have civilians that can be in the crossfire. So, of course, this has resulted in an increase in IDPs. Particularly, we've had quite a few cases that have been happening in East Jebel Marra area where IDPs have fled to nearby camps or newly displaced people have fled to new camps. And, of course, this has affected the civilian population. Anytime you have fighting, it affects the civilian population.
Are you able to identify some of these armed movements that are engaged in fighting with the government forces?
You have the Sudanese Liberation Army, Mini Manawi. You have Sudanese Liberation Army, Abdul Wahid. We've had Justice and Equality Movement. These are some of the major ones that have been participating in this fighting with the government. I think there's also another one that's called Sudanese Liberation Army Unity, which has been in the north as well. And a lot of this stuff has been happening in and around the area, been happening particularly a lot of stuff we've seen over the summer into the fall has been in East Jebel Marra and in North Darfur, particularly Khartoum, which is about 100 kilometers or so southwest of El Fasher.
Is there an indication why fighting escalates?
We can't really speculate on that. I mean, there's always been conflict here for quite some time, and I really can't speculate in terms of what exactly is the root cause of it. But a lot of it, I think, has been primarily over resources and probably people's concerns that maybe some of their concerns aren't being addressed. And, of course, the government wants to protect its sovereignty. You know, Darfur is a part of Sudan, and, of course, the government's very concerned about this as well. So you have both groups with competing interests. But in terms of speculating in terms of what exactly leads to one or the other, I really can't tell.
What can UNAMID do in a situation like this when government forces and rebel fighters fight each other?
Our core mandate is the protection of civilians. And in this case, we can urge the parties to come to the negotiating table. We've seen this with LJM. The Liberty and Justice Movement has come to the negotiating table in terms of the Doha document for peace in Darfur. We'd like to have the other factions get involved and also to try to seek a truce because undoubtedly this mostly affects the civilian population. So we would call upon them to please join in the peace process and to note also, too, that these actions affect the most vulnerable communities in Darfur, particularly the internally displaced. In terms of other things, like we had mentioned in Sangultabaya, we had transported some of the people who had been affected or people who had been injured. And primarily, we had indicated that they were Sudanese forces, but we've also helped out. If there's someone that's injured in grave condition, that's a civilian, that is a member of an armed movement, that is a member of the government, if they need to be medevaced and we have the resources and we can do it, we will. That's part of humanitarian law. It's part of the Geneva Conventions that we will help them out. And that's what we did in this latest incident, the one that was in Sangultabaya. We had approximately 17 people who were very much in need of medical care, medical treatment. And what we did is we had assets and we were able to transfer them to a government hospital to where they could be treated.
And when you help like that, have you had complaints from any party?
Well, there'll be complaints from all sides. Undoubtedly, this will happen. We did have a complaint from one of the movements. But also, too, if we transport members of one of the movements, we'll have a complaint from the government as well. So we're in the middle of it all, but we're here to help their affiliation, and particularly the civilian population. But if someone's in dire need of medical care, we're going to assist them. We're not going to just let them sit there without any type of medical treatment and die.
Now, you made mention of the need for the parties, the government and rebels, to engage in negotiations to resolve the Darfur crisis. How is the peace process going? Any progress?
Well, it continues. We just had an implementation follow-up meeting that was held in Doha. You know, actually on Monday we have a meeting that's with the UN country team and with UNAMID, and that's to discuss the implementation of the DDPD, which is the Doha document for peace in Darfur. Things continue to move on, and the process continues, but we, of course, wish it was a little bit faster.